Count of Monte Cristo. Maximilien Morel and his sister Julie learn that Monte Cristo is none other than Edmond Dantès who saved their father. Maximilien then swears to make no further attempt at suicide, and Monte Cristo promises to restore his lost happiness in a month. If he fails, Maximilien may be permitted to end his life, and so they plan to leave Paris together. Present scene is a small apartment secretly rented by Debray. The Count of Monte Cristo.
Is there any news, Felix?
No, Monsieur Debray. Except that I caught the wife of the concierge trying the handle of the door this morning.
What did she say?
She said that a door had been slamming and that she was afraid I had gone out without locking mine.
Ah, the poor creature was worrying.
I'm tired of being spied upon by the concierge and his wife. Pardon me for saying so, Monsieur. There is not another pair like them in the Rue Saint-Germain-des-Prés.
A concierge is the same everywhere. A cross between a watchdog and a pickpocket.
And the wife of a concierge, if you will permit me, monsieur, has a nose as long as an elephant's.
Longer, my good Felix.
In England, the janitors and porters are a very different lot. Here, every day at 4 o'clock, when you come down the street, the concierge is watching, trying to catch a glimpse of your face.
But I have fooled them for a whole year, Felix.
Your face is hidden in that muffler.
Precautions are necessary.
Pardon, monsieur Dupré. But you are the mystery of the Rue Saint-Germain-des-Prés.
Well, I shall have to find another office to conduct my brokerage business. While my operations in the stock market are entirely legitimate, as you know, I have not wanted to cause gossip at the ministry. So I took this apartment.
I quite understand. By the way, monsieur, some new people have moved in upstairs.
Who are they?
A lady and gentleman. That's all I know, monsieur.
You have not heard the name?
No, monsieur. What shall I do about the concierge's wife?
I can hardly advise you, my good Felix.
She prowls about frightfully. She gets on my nerves, monsieur. Every time I go to the market, she squints at me.
She what?
Squints, monsieur. Just squints, nothing more.
Well, let her squint.
But that isn't all, monsieur Dupré.
Oh, she makes no advances, I trust.
Not exactly, but she does make remarks. Catty remarks.
About whom?
Pardon, monsieur Dupré, but they are about you.
Well, you don't suppose I care what a concierge wife says about me, do you?
But I can't endure it any longer.
Mon Dieu, tell me the worst.
She talks about your red muffler, and in my hearing.
What of it?
At first, she and her husband thought you were a nobleman who had rented this apartment incog, in disguise, so to speak.
Well, that's quite all right. That doesn't offend me, Felix.
But recently they got the idea you had a deformed neck, or had lost your chin in the war.
Oh, they did, eh? Well, well.
The wife said this morning she was willing to wager a franc that you had some terrifying ugliness.
A rather unkind remark. I've always prided myself on being rather good-looking.
Shh.
What's the matter, Felix?
Someone is on the landing. I'm sure it's the concierge's wife.
Do you think so?
She'll try to look through the keyhole to see if your neck is all right. Let me stand in front of you, monsieur.
See who it is, Felix. Mon Dieu, you have me terrified.
It may be a trick, monsieur.
Hardly likely.
It is a pretext to see you, to learn your identity.
Bah! Open! open the door.
Ah, monsieur, please step into the next room.
You go. I'll see who this is.
Let me protect you, monsieur.
Silence, idiot. Go on, get in there.
But, monsieur...
Get out. There. Now stay in that room.
Mon Dieu. I hope I haven't interrupted a conference, Monsieur Dubray.
Madame La Baronne.
Really, it becomes difficult to see you these days.
My sincere apologies, madame. It is the fault of my stupid servant, Felix. Felix has a notion that I am being spied upon by the concierge wife.
Dear me, how romantic.
Well, what I mean is...
Oh, you don't have to explain, my dear Lucien.
But...
Oh, never mind, please. I have important things to discuss. Can I confide in you?
You know that you can, madame. Why, what is the matter?
An amazing event has happened. Monsieur Danglars left last night.
Left? Monsieur Danglars left? Where has he gone?
No one knows.
Well, you mean he's not going to return?
Just that. At 10 last night, his horses took him to the Charenton gate. There, a postchaise was waiting. He told his valet he was going to Fontainebleau.
Then what did you mean?
Wait. Here is a letter he left for me. Read it.
Madame and most faithful wife.
Well, go on.
When you receive this, you will no longer have a husband.
You see?
It's a long letter. Well, do not be alarmed. He's considerate, isn't he?
But read on.
For you will have lost me as you have lost your daughter. I don't see his point of view, madame.
Will you please continue?
Well, he says, I shall be traveling on one of 30 or 40 roads leading out of France. He doesn't want you to follow him.
Oh, give me that letter. Can't you see that I'm heartbroken?
Of course. Pardon, madame.
Oh, you read it. I cannot.
Let me see. He writes, this morning I paid out 5 millions. Immediately came a demand for another 5 millions, which I could not meet. I postponed this creditor until tomorrow, but I intend leaving today.
It's frightful.
This amazes me.
Continue, please. Now you will understand some things.
My most precious wife.
Oh, leave out the comments.
Very well. My most precious wife, there are things too unpleasant for me to endure. You who know my affairs and are aware of what has become of a considerable part of my fortune...
You see, he blames me.
...have, by your infallible instincts, no doubt prudently saved a little money.
How unkind.
Wait, let me continue. With this consoling idea, I leave you, madame, and most prudent wife, without pang of conscience. So long as you were working for the good of the House of Danglars, I philosophically closed my eyes. But I will not be the foundation of another man's fortune. Why, the ungrateful wretch. He made millions through my advice.
You see? What did I tell you?
Let me finish.
Oh, it isn't necessary, Lucia.
I must see what he says further. Madame, when I married you, you were rich, but little respected.
Oh, well, don't bother to read any more.
For 15 years, I have increased our fortune until unexpected catastrophes overturned it. You, madame, have sought only to increase your own fortune, and I have convinced you have succeeded.
How unjust.
I leave you, therefore, as I took you, rich but little respected. Accept my acknowledgement for the example you have set me. Your very devoted husband, Baron Danglars.
Well, doesn't the letter inspire you, Lucien?
Monsieur Danglars has left rather suspiciously.
Certainly, but... But is that all you have to say to me?
I do not understand you.
But he's gone. Gone. Never to return.
Well, what do you intend to do?
Well, that is the question I was going to ask you.
If you want my advice, I suggest that you travel.
Travel? But I don't wish to travel. I like Paris. I'm at home here.
As Monsieur Danglars says, you are rich and perfectly free. But if you stay in Paris, you will be known as the abandoned wife of a bankrupt.
Abandoned. I can hear them now. See how poor it makes me sound.
When you are now the rich one of the Danglars family.
I? What are you trying to tell me?
During the 6 months we have been associated in business, I have made some profitable investments, as you know.
But I have not your full report, monsieur.
You are what might be called a wealthy woman.
What would I have done without you?
Oh, you would not have had to hunt very long for someone to invest your money. It's a congenial occupation for anyone with a flair for finance.
And I am not what you would call unattractive, Lucien?
You can still rely on your capital. Here is my statement of our investments to date.
To date?
In May, we began operations. In that month, from your original advance of 100,000 francs, we gained 450,000.
I remember. Splendid, wasn't it? Oh, may I look over your shoulder?
Certainly, madame. In June, our profit was 900,000. In July, when the Spanish bonds were first offered, we made 1,700,000.
As much as that?
Reckoning from the first day of our partnership up to yesterday, our accounts show a capital of 2,400,000 francs.
Extraordinary! What an investor you are.
Now, madame, this provides 1,200,000 francs for each of us.
How comforting you are.
I will give you your share of the money.
What?
Half is in banknotes, the rest in checks payable to Barrow. I will get it. For safety, I put your share in a chest under that cupboard. I believe the money safer here than at my home. Here are 800 notes of 1,000 francs each. Also the dividend and the checks for the balance. This concludes our partnership, madame.
Shall I take this money?
It is yours. Take it. It gives you a splendid fortune of 60,000 francs a year.
Thank you. Is it all, then?
Should the money prove insufficient, I beg you to consider mine at your disposal at any time on loan.
And you have nothing else to say to me?
I wish you bon voyage, madame.
Oh! Who can that be?
Step into that room, if you like. You had better hurry.
Oh.
And keep quiet. This is very embarrassing.
Mon Dieu! Albert de Morcerf!